The title of the message, if you could just look at the title, because title is the message. And the title of the message for today is Resurrection is the Gospel. And I want to just pause because it's a very important statement. The resurrection is the gospel. Do you believe in resurrection? The whole world is divided into two, I would say, right? There are people who believe resurrection, which means after your death, there is eternity. And then there are people who do not believe in resurrection. Atheist. Are you an atheist? They believe after death there is nothing. As we are settling down, I'm going to repeat one more time because this is an important statement. Either you believe in resurrection or you believe in nothing after death. Which category do you fall into? And I really mean this question because I would categorize those who live as if there is no God. Bible says, fool says in his heart that there is no God. But in this category, living like atheist. Okay? So there are people who believe in resurrection, and there are believers and Christians who would put their life on it and everything on it. And then there are those who do not. Okay, so if you think about it, one of them has to be a lie. Do you agree? Christianity says there is eternity, but all the others says basically there is nothing. One of them has to be a lie. They are diametrically opposite to one another. So I was thinking this week, if the atheist is right, you get nothing. Correct? If the Christians are wrong, they get nothing. Do you hear me? But what if atheists and those who do live as if there is no God, what if they are wrong? Then you are in deep trouble. If Christians are wrong, they still get nothing, but if they are right, they get to heaven. And I just want to start with this kind of illustration because you either fall into this category or that category. Resurrection, Bible and history testifies about the resurrection of Christ. I'm going to repeat that, okay? Because I'm stating a very important statement and I don't want you to miss it. Bible and history testifies about the resurrection of Christ. Bible is obviously does is as a historical document, and Bible is a very historical document. Even historians and at the court of law recognize. For 2,000 years, people have been trying to disprove the resurrection. Nobody was able to do it. Okay? Disprove the resurrection. Bible and history testifies about the resurrection of Christ. Therefore, I would say your position on resurrection will alter your life. It will definitely do it. Let me illustrate. If you believe in resurrection of Christ, and Christ is alive and he could be coming any moment, as the scripture says, would you be greedy? That makes no sense, right? He could come back tomorrow. Why would you be greedy? If he's coming back tomorrow, why would you place your life on this side of eternity? It just makes no sense, right? Or something or anything in this world, you place your life on it. If you really believe in resurrection, I don't think you'll do that. Does that make any sense? So, whether you believe it in this, your position on resurrection, your life will be diametrically different. If you believe in resurrection, I thought about two things would be clear in your mind, okay? Number one, it'll be clear which kingdom you belong to. I know that's going to be clear. If you believe in resurrection, If you believe in resurrection of Christ, you know which kingdom you belong to, therefore what you need to live for. You definitely know. Otherwise, you do not know, right? Secondly, I thought about, it'll bring some sort of confidence in you if you believe in resurrection, that you're where your life has come from and where it is going toward to. Therefore, you know what to live for, because you know where you come from and where you're heading toward to. Atheist says you come from nothing to nothing. So what do you live for? Nothing. Okay, I hope this makes sense to you. I'm trying to reason with you about this resurrection because it's a historically documented and proven event. I don't know whether you believe it or not. What is your position? Okay, so that as an introduction. And I want to introduce Christianity is a religion of open tomb. That is the actual picture of a tomb carved out of rock. And it is for rich people to own one of those, tomb. And they prepare it, just like, you know, our parents do. They bought a place in, you know, Pine Lawn or something, right? That's for rich people. And do you see the big stone gate? Usually weighs about 500 kilo to about 2,000 kilo. That's about 1,000 pounds to 4,000 pounds heavy gate. Okay. Isn't it interesting? In the Old Testament, it has been prophesied that the Messiah will be buried in the rich man's tomb. And it, you know, if you read the Gospels carefully, it belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, rich person. Coincidence? Hardly, right? So it is the religion of empty tomb, and this fact separates Christianity from all the others. I don't think any other religion could claim resurrection. All of their leaders are in the tomb and they're dead. Muhammad is, Buddha is, Muni is, everyone is dead. Only Christ historically died and raised again. Okay? And because he has risen from the dead, and therefore he's alive now. Right now he's alive. Whether you believe it or not, he's alive. You don't have to believe it for something to be a fact. Do you see that possibility? I share this with some of you this week. JAMA, which is the Journal of American Medical Association, most respected journal, scientific journal of medical association, had an article on the topic of the death of Jesus in 1986, March 1st. You could Google it right now. You could get that article, 1986, JAMA. Okay? Basically, these medical doctors and some of the Christians were gathered together under the name of JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association. They try to figure out that historical Jesus, what was the cause of his death? He was crucified, we know that. But what was the cause of his death? And to make a long story short, this young man, who's only 33 years old, supposedly a healthy male Jesus, someone like our pastors are around that age. So can you picture Pastor Paul Park? Or June, right? How could he die only in 6 hours, hung on a tree? Average person, healthy person, could hung on a tree on Roman crucifix, and they last 2 to 3 days. 2 to 3 days. But Jesus died only in 6 hours. It only took 6 hours. It was in the 9 a.m, and 3 o'clock, he was dead. Okay, so these medical doctors, they try to look into evidences and they try to figure out what is the cause of his death. And this is the result. First of all, before he was crucified, he was scourged. Basically, scourged means Roman way of just whipping with the Roman whips. And at the tip of the Roman whip, right, there is metal or bones were embedded in it. So if you could picture Jesus kind of like without his shirt and without his pants, and Roman soldiers whip them, and those metal will bite their skin, and then just pull it, right? 39 of them, all over his body. So he lost a lot of blood, a lot of blood loss. Okay? And then he hung on a tree. And if you could just picture, when you are hung on a tree vertically, if you want to breathe, and your diaphragm needs to go downward so that you could breathe in. So the only way that could happen is you have to lift up your body, which takes energy. But he already lost so much blood and energy. So they concluded that Jesus died of hypovolemic shock, which means a lot of blood loss. Shock. And so the second reason is exhaustion, asphyxia, which means you basically died of can't able to breathe. You just cannot lift up your body anymore because you got too exhausted and you died of suffocation. I'm just trying to say, Jama recognizes it. What is your position? The reason I try to corner this is because this will make a difference in your life. It really will make a difference in your life. Jesus historically, factually died and factually raised in 36 hours, buried in that stone, sealed by Roman government, guarded by Roman soldiers. There's no way people come and steal that body. But that tomb has been empty for the last 2,000 years. They were never able to find the corpse of Jesus, historical Jesus. Okay, so he was fully raised from the dead, historically and factually resurrected. This is the message of Christianity. Do you believe it? Or do you live as if you don't believe it? Really, that's the difference. I think most of the world is on this category. Most of the church people is on this category. I know I'm offending people now. But I really see it like that, though. Okay? So what is the significance of this death and resurrection? If that is the central message of Christianity, what difference does it make? It makes a huge difference in history. Bible clearly declares that. Are you listening? He has conquered sin and death forever. He has abolished, these are all biblical words, death forever. He has destroyed the devil and Satan forever. No small thing, isn't it? Whether you believe it or not. No small thing. Let me repeat that. He has conquered power of sin and death forever. In other words, there is no more death. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will never die. Is he kidding? Is he a liar? Is he bluffing? If you believe in me, you will never die. But if you believe in me. Okay? And he has destroyed or abolished, the word abolition of slavery, right? What does that word mean? He just kind of like dismissed death. There's no more death if you are in Christ. As a believer, my physical body, I would die physically, but my soul and my spirit will right go to the bosom of God. In other words, it's like opening my eyes, closing my eyes and opening my eyes. That's what the scripture teaches. I don't know whether you believe that. Okay? That's what Jesus has done through death and resurrection. No small thing. And no other religions could claim that. How did he do it? Let me just explain. In 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus, through his death, took the sting out of death. Can you picture a scorpion in a desert? Scorpion has sting, and if you're stung by the sting of scorpion, you get poison and you die. So can you picture this scorpion is the death, and then there is a sting, and the sting is sin. That sin has been destroyed forever. The sting has been destroyed forever. In other words, death no longer has dominion over Christ and the believers. No longer has dominion. How did he do that? Through his death, he paid the penalty of the sin that you owe to God, holy God. And not only that, he broke the chain so that you are no longer slave to sin. Meaning without Christ, you live as a slave to sin. You are a slave to sin, the Bible says. I went to church all my life. Unless you are with Christ, you are a slave to sin. You sin because you are a slave to sin. You are not sinner because you sin, but you sin because you're born and being a slave of sin. You cannot help but to sin. Can you picture slavery? Slaves has master. Who's the master of slavery of sin? Bible clearly says Satan is. Satan is your master. And master uses you and abuses you. He's going to make you work. He's going to make you sin. But he doesn't love you. He does not love you. Okay? And he's going to use you until you drop. And then he's going to throw you away. He knows where he's going. Master of slavery of sin knows. He knows where he's. He's going into hell forever. Scripture says in Revelations. And what he's trying to do is he's going to try to take you and your children and your family and your babies with him. That's the biblical truth. Okay? So Jesus took out the sting of sin by paying the price and breaking the chain of sin. And that's what Jesus came to do and as accomplished. That's what the message of death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is, and that is the central message of Christianity. Where do you stand? I'm going to ask you probably 10 more times today. Where do you stand? Do you believe in resurrection, or are you an atheist? Or do you live as an atheist? Because you do. You do fall into one or the other. If you live in this category, if you are right, you get nothing. Because there is nothing. But for Christians, if they are wrong, they get nothing. Okay? So, kind of sum it up, death and resurrection of Jesus, which is historic. Nobody disproves that. Nobody in the last 2,000 years. Okay? Destroyed and conquered and abolished the power of sin and death forever. That's what we say we believe. Okay? And he has vanquished and conquered devil and Satan forever. Forever, people. That's what we are talking about. Therefore, he's alive now. He's alive. What is he doing? Just hanging out in the in some place? No. Bible clearly says he is alive and is seated on the throne of on the right hand of God. He's seated on the throne with the body, glorified body. Can you picture me? Not as muscular as Pastor Paul Park or anything. But he has a body. He's fully God and fully human being. He still has his body. Resurrected body. Body. Do you remember after the resurrection he ate? Do you remember? People were able to touch him. He's seated on a throne with a body. And what is he doing? He's reigning the world. He's reigning your life. Your life is in his hand, Bible says. I don't know whether you believe that. Sickness and health. Whether you're going to get this job or not. Whether you'll get into this school or not. Whether you will marry someone or not. Whether you will ever going to marry or not. Scripture says it's in his hand. He's sovereign God. It is not up to you. Not up to you. Okay? He's seated on the throne as a resurrected king, and he's the reigning the universe right now. The Ukraine situation is in the Lord's hand. Who's going to be the next president of the United States of America is in the Lord's hand. Whether Mr. Biden will make the second term or not, it is in the Lord's hand. Whether Mr. Trump will be able to run for president or not, it is in the Lord's hand. Do you get the point? Your life, every detail is in his hand. Okay? Not only that, listen to this. He's coming back to judge the living and the dead. He's going to judge the living and the dead. No, he's not. There's nothing. I hope you're right. If you're right, you get nothing. But if you're wrong, you will be judged. Okay? That's what the scripture states. I want to go to Matthew's account. This is what we read. The last chapter of Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Who was an eyewitness? For 3 years, he eyewitnessed Jesus. Scripture and the gospel is a historical document and could be used as a legal document as well. Okay? As an eyewitness, for 3 years, he witnessed his death and resurrection. And he's testifying. What he's doing is testifying what he has seen. That's what Matthew's gospel is. In fact, all four gospels testify of his resurrection. And the last chapter, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 21 and 20 and 21. Every last chapter, every closure is the resurrection. And let me just tell you something. That's going to be your closure too, and mine too. Your closure of your existence and life will be resurrection. Let me explain, okay? If the cross is the climax of the Christian gospel, resurrection is the closure. If the cross is the climax, obviously it is. Save millions and billions throughout history, resurrection will be the closure. Bible says you're all going to be raised and resurrected. But there are two types of resurrections. This is John chapter 5. Jesus said, you're going to be raised. You're going to be resurrected. You're going to be resurrected. And what kind of resurrection did he talk about? In John chapter 5, those who are not in Christ, if you are not within the train with Christ, you're going to be resurrected through the resurrection of judgment. If you have been a believer, put your trust in him. You are in a train with him, moving along with him. You'll be raised with resurrection of life. So there's going to be resurrection of life, and then there's going to be resurrection of judgment. But everybody will be raised. Okay? No, it's not going to happen, you're going to say. I don't believe it. If you are right, you get nothing. If you are wrong, you're in trouble, deep trouble. Okay, so here is the Matthew's testimony of what happened on that first Easter Sunday morning, historically, and that was the tomb that Jesus was buried. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. I know you're looking for dead Jesus." And then angel declares, and Matthew testifies, he's not here. The tomb is empty, for he has risen. As he said, I'm going to explain that. Come and see and place where he lay. You know what? These ladies and pretty soon other disciples went into the tomb and saw the empty tomb. They are eyewitnesses. Historical eyewitnesses. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. So Matthew testifies that he has risen. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. And even promising that you're going to see resurrected Christ. See, I have told you. So these women departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell to his disciples. So they were just excited. They were on their way back to the disciples. And guess what happens? Resurrected Christ appeared before them. First eyewitness of the resurrection. Behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Can you imagine that? Resurrected person of God. Okay? And this is what Jesus said. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers. First time Jesus using my brothers. In John chapter 20, Jesus tells disciples, my Father is your Father. My God is your God. You know, I thought about this. How does that work? After the resurrection, it proves our salvation and justification. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He died for our transgressions, and he was raised for our justification. Now, we are justified. We are saved. Right? So, greetings. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there you will see me. Okay, that's the text. God sent an angel, and he came down from heaven, and he rolled back that stone gate, which I told you it is about 500 kilo to 2,000 kilo, which is no easy test, especially when it is sealed by Roman government, which means you can't touch it. If you touch it, you are against the Roman government. You can't touch that. And Roman soldiers were guarding as well. But that was open. And not only that, the angel was sitting on top of it. Can you picture that? We need to picture these. Can you picture a tomb early Easter Sunday morning, and the angel is sitting on top of that stone gate? I kind of picture Peter Pan and Jiminy the Cricket. I don't know. That's not your time. I kind of picture that. So he's kind of sitting there, looking cute, as if he's saying, guess who opened it? He did it. It is the power of God. Open that gate. You know, ladies came to take care of dead Jesus with like some spice and things like that. And basically they came to see dead Jesus. I don't know what their plan was, because Roman soldiers were guarding it and Roman government has sealed it. And the gate itself is about 2,000 kilo. I don't know what their plan was. But God already sent an angel and took care of the problem with the earthquake, which is the second one in 3 days. Remember when Jesus died, there was an earthquake. Dead people were raised. People, I pray that you are listening, because your position on this topic will make a difference in your life. Okay? So stone was rolled away for the door, and who was it for? Can you think about this? Jesus was raised. So there is time in history, his spirit came back to his corpse. He was raised. Oh, what happened? I'm raised. Now, Jesus is thinking, I'm resurrected, but how do I get out of here? There's a big stone gate. Is that what's happening? No, it's not for Jesus. Jesus had glorified body. If you see it in John chapter 20, when the disciples were gathered and in fear, and they were just gathered on after the crucifixion, Jesus kind of just appeared like that. He has his body, glorified his body, and he eats, and you're able to touch him, but he goes right through the space. That's the glorified body. And by the way, that's the kind of body Bible says we will receive. Glorified body. Right? So it's not for Jesus. Then who is it for? It was for the ladies. It was for the women. It was for the disciples, so that they will be able to go in and be the witness of resurrection and the empty tomb. After that, what happened was they were on their way to excuse me. On their way to tell the disciples, but on the way, Jesus appeared before them. Verse 9, and he said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. What we see is the first eyewitness of resurrection of Christ. Do you believe in resurrection? It's a fairy tale. Or you live as if that is a fairy tale. You're falling in this category, right? You live as an atheist. In your heart, there is no such thing as God. In your life, there is no such thing as God. Okay? So, first encounter with Jesus. So, that's what we see here. You know, if you read record of resurrection in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which I did this week, actually, reading Matthew 26 through 28, death and resurrection of Christ, okay, Mark chapter 15 and 16, Luke 22, 23, 24, and John 20 and 21. Gospel does not explain resurrection. It does not explain it. It just declares it. In fact, what I believe is, it's not the gospel explains the resurrection. It is the resurrection explains the gospel. Resurrection is what explains the gospel. Do you believe in resurrection or do you just go to church? It's a real question, people. Probably a question that I ask every single Sunday. Okay? So to believe in resurrection and faith in Christian, faith in resurrection is what it means to be a Christian. Are you a Christian? Or are you on this category? Resurrection is what separates Christianity from all the other religion. Really? Because Christian tomb is empty, whereas the leaders of all the other religion, it is occupied. They are dead, but he's alive. It's a historical thing. That is the most important message of Christian gospel. Okay? Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, Joseph Smith, Muni, they're all dead. They're all dead. It became tombs and shrines. Whereas Christian tomb is empty. It's been empty for 2,000 years. Nobody was able to find a corpse for the last 2,000 years. Nobody can prove that. But there are witnesses of his resurrection. And think about the history for the last 2,000 years. Think about the rise of the church in Jerusalem for the last 2,000 years. That small religion, now it's all over the world. People lay down their lives for it. And you think that's not a history? That's not a factual thing? Think about disciples for next 40 years. They never denied the resurrection of Christ. Under the persecution, and they all got martyred, they still would not deny the resurrection of Christ. Okay. I want to quote Dr. David Wells. Resurrection is not something you add to your life. Message of resurrection is the soul-shaking, costly, demanding reality. I hope you're listening. Resurrection is not something you add to your busy life. It is the soul-shaking, if you can believe that. Soul-shaking. It shakes your soul. And costly and demanding reality. And that's what Christian faith is. Are you a Christian? Okay. Brothers and sisters, today, you know, this is the most exciting time of the church. First Easter Sunday. Everything is built upon this message of resurrection. If you read Book of Acts, which speaks about the history of the first church, there are 9 sermons recorded. Sermon by P- Peter, sermon by Stephen, sermon by Paul, there are 9 of them. If you read it carefully, every single sermon in the book of Acts, what is the topic? Resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know why church do not preach resurrection. They barely mention it on Easter Sunday. And I could give you my hunch why. Because if you preach prosperity, you can never preach resurrection. Just think with me. Prosperity and blessing says, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to do well. You're going to be rich. Your company will do well. And your children will do well in this world. But the Bible and the resurrection message says he's alive and he's coming back tomorrow. Does that make any sense? Prosperity gospel and the resurrection gospel are mutually exclusive. They're mutually exclusive. They cannot coexist. That's why people can't preach that. If people are preaching prosperity and blessing on this side of eternity, they will never be able to preach resurrection. One is scriptural, one has to be a lie. One has to be true, one has to be a deception. I hope you get the message. Okay? C.S. Lewis, in his book, Miracles, he said the resurrection is the central theme. In 9 sermons in the book of Acts, and to preach Christian message to the apostles and the early church meant primarily preaching the resurrection and it's him coming back. That's what the church preached. That's what the apostles preached. Why is it so hard to hear that these days? Do you believe that? If not, you're believing in deception. You're deceiving yourself. You're just letting yourself be deceived, I think. So, Jesus told them, go to Galilee now, okay? Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. Galilee is on the northern part of Israel. Jesus was resurrected in Jerusalem, which is on the south, in Judah. So you have to travel, okay? Tell them to go to Galilee, okay? Tell them to go to Galilee, and they will see me. So what happened there? Okay, I just want to close on this Resurrection Sunday. Why did Jesus, resurrected Jesus, tell disciples to go to Galilee? You know why? Because Galilee is where Jesus called them. When Jesus called them, he called them with a purpose. Can I just ask you, what is the purpose of your life? What is your purpose of your life? Is there a purpose? What is the purpose of your life? Seriously, what's the purpose of your existence? That's what this is about. What's the purpose of your life? You just make money and boast, enjoy this life, and you become nothing. Is that the purpose? What's the purpose of your life? That's what this is about. Jesus told the disciples, go back to Galilee and I'm going to meet you there. And this is what he tells them at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. This is it, people. I hope you pay attention. It is not about you making it. It is not about you getting married. It is not about you having children. It is not about you having a good business. It is not about you live not up to 70 but 95. What difference would it make if there is no purpose in life? What's the purpose of in life? Here's what resurrected King wants to convey to his disciples. What's the purpose of his life, of our life? Now, 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Even with the resurrection, people doubt, right? And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority, people. It's not United States of America. It is not Mr. Putin. It is not Zelensky. It is not President Yoon. It is not Mao. It is the Lord. All authority has been given to me. All authority. History is in my hand. And it's going to command. And this is the command. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. That's the command. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of your life. That's the purpose of the church if you believe in Jesus and his resurrection. Otherwise, you live to nothing, basically. Right? If you're right, you live to nothing. And then he promises, "And I am with you always until the very end of the age." I'm praying for some excited people for this cause. I really do, actually. New Heart, we claim that we're a Bible preaching church, but I don't know whether I see so many exciting people about this. I'm not sure. This morning I got a text. Someone wrote a testimony. Someone who became a Christian recently. I was excited. I was really excited. This person handed in the testimony to become a member of this church. And we asked three questions. Number one, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Second question is, what difference did he make before you became a Christian and after? Pre-conversion and post-conversion. Did he make any difference? And the final question is Jesus the Lord of your life? To whom you live for? And I've never seen a clear answer than what I read this morning. So hard to hear clear answer from people. So hard to hear. Would you be able to give a clear answer to those three questions? I hope you can. How many of you believe I could give a clear answer to those three questions? Would you say amen? There are people, but can you do it? Who is Jesus to you? Jesus! People curse. That's your Jesus? What difference did he make? I don't have a problem when people say, "I don't know when I become a Christian, but I do have a problem that you don't see any difference before and after the conversion." That makes no sense. One, you are enemy of God. Now you are a child of God and you see no difference. What does that mean? And the third and final question is, Jesus, Lord of your life? Are you sure about that? Is he to whom you are living to? And this morning I got up and I opened my text, opened my email and read that. I was like, oh, praise God. God is alive in this church. I really was encouraged, actually. What's the purpose? It's clearly stated right here. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You belong to me if you're a Christian. I bought you with the blood of Christ. I am the Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess, people. Every tongue. It's not your business. It's not your family. It's not your marriage. You're a fool. You fall into this category, the Bible says, like an atheist. And if you're right, you get nothing. And if you're wrong, you're in deep trouble. Okay. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And here's the command. Listen carefully. Go and make disciples of all nations. It is about all nations. It is not about Koreans. It is not about Hispanics. It is all nations, people. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. We're going to baptize people. What does that mean? We welcome into the family of God. We don't give baptism to anybody. A person has to be a believer who confess Jesus is the Lord of their life. Then we baptize them. Otherwise, we can't do that. That's a fake. That's a fake if you do that. Go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he gives a promise, which is all-encompassing. Jesus said, I am Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I am, saying, I am with you always, because Holy Spirit lives in you if you are a Christian. I am with you always until the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, resurrection will be the closure. Your life will be closed, finished with resurrection. You're going to be raised. If you are in Christ, it's going to be the resurrection of life. If you're not in Christ, living as an atheist, living as if there is no God in your life, it's going to be the resurrection of judgment. So today, I invite you to come to Christ. You got to get off the train that leads to destruction. The whole world is heading toward it. And you are in it. You are born in it. You're a slave to it. You're chained to it. But now you're hearing it, hearing the message of the gospel. Now you have to get off the train. If you want to go to Penn Station, you got to go over the bridge. You got to turn. You got to turn. And you got to get into the train. One last picture. Can you picture? A lot of people think like this. My one foot is in this train, one foot is in the other train, and train is moving on both on opposite direction. Can you picture that? Your body will be. One train is heading towards south, and one train is heading toward north. You're being deceived. If you think like that, you're in this train. You are. Get off that train. And come to Christ today. He is alive because he has been risen. Let's pray.